everyone, and welcome to Minute 153 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again on this lovely Wednesday morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this, is Howard Kasner, screenwriter and script consultant, blogger, and host of the Pop Art Podcast. Welcome back, Howard.
Well, glad to be here. Right. Again.
Yeah. Another day. Another day leak, another discussion of The Great Escape. Minute 153 begins with Hiltz continuing his ride to freedom and ends with Hiltz raising his hands in defeat. As we discussed yesterday, Hiltz is riding his motorcycle gratuitously along the Bavarian countryside in order to try and find a way to get over this annoying little fence that separates Germany and Switzerland. Was going in one direction, and then a whole bunch of soldiers showed up on that side, so he turned around and then went back the other direction, and what a surprise, he was confronted by a whole bunch of soldiers there, which we actually counted that there were 32 soldiers running on that side. So he once again turned around and decided to try to go back in the other direction. Maybe he'll have a little bit more success going that direction. And he speeds up the motorcycle and goes into what looks like a golf course, sand trap, sinkhole, something like that. You never know. And then we start in this minute where he continues to ride. Now, when he continues riding, we get another perspective of that shot. And there's no sinkhole to be seen at all. It just completely disappeared. It might have just been something with the shadows that made it look like it was something like it was a sinkhole or not. But there's no sinkhole anymore.
Right. Well, the other thing I also find interesting about this fence is you talked about it separating him from Switzerland. And it doesn't exactly. Switzerland is still, I think, far away. And it's actually a rather small fence. I'm not exactly sure.
Small as in height-wise?
No, small as in lengthwise. And
well, we don't know the whole length of it.
Well, we know the end of one because we can see that. We can see the end at one end. But the other one, you know, hits a village. So I'm kind of wondering what this fence is even here for.
It's there for the Hollywood movie, this blockbuster movie being filmed.
Yes, that's exactly it. Who came up with this idea? Because I think they're still kind of far away from Switzerland. You know, you have to go over those mountains, I think, to get to Switzerland. Switzerland is sort of landlocked by these mountains. That's why one of the reasons why I could stay neutral is, you know, it's not easy to get into and get out of. There are other reasons, but, you know, you didn't have to worry about Switzerland. So then you have this right. Big fence there. I'm going, well, what's it for? No.
Well, I think it was last week when we first saw him get to the quote-unquote border, we did see a Swiss flag. So, again, it could just be that they're doing this to try to show the audience how close it is, even though it's not geographically
accurate.
Yeah,
I mean, you see the mountains right there. So,
right, you see the mountains, but the impression that they give us here is that once he's over that second fence, he's in Switzerland. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Visually, it looks great.
Perfect when it comes to geography, either.
You've never tried to jump a fence in Bavaria on your way to
Switzerland? Yeah, never. I've never even been to Switzerland. So, it just seems a little strange to me. But as you say, it created one of the most iconic or most iconic moment in this movie. Very iconic moment in movie history. So, you know, it's not maybe Terry over it that much.
We'll fudge it a little bit and, you know, go there. Right. So then basically he continues along the side of the, going along parallel to the fence, the first line of the fence. And then he veers the motorcycle slightly to the left as he angles it up towards a jump. And then amazingly takes flight and is able to make it over that first part of the fence, which it's really breathtaking to watch. It doesn't matter how many times you've seen it. It's amazing to watch. And this particular scene is apparently the main reason why this movie was nominated for best editing. The editor, Ferris Webster, and the fact that he was able to take shots of Steve McQueen riding the motorcycle and eventually get the jump with Bud Elkin on it is just amazing. You know, he's able to put them together and it's seamless. You really believe that is Steve McQueen. Who knows? They might be playing a joke on us, and you know, it might be that Steve McQueen really did make the jump. You never know. And I know that in Le Mans, you know, when he did that movie, there were a lot of scenes when he wasn't supposed to be driving where he would sneak into the car and did the stunt driving, and people didn't know about it until afterwards. So who knows? Maybe it actually is Steve McQueen jumping that fence.
Yeah, it does look really good, and it does but really look
if
like...
If not, it still looks really good.
There's Steve no McQueen. The only thing I could say is that, of course, this doesn't mean anything because of the sunlight and the light. He looks a bit blonder here.
Possibly. But you got to remember, he's been driving around Bavaria for the last few days. Yeah. So maybe his hair, you know, got bleached a little bit in the sun. You never know. And, you know, we continue with Bernstein's amazing score. I mean, his score really highlights this whole jump scene also. You know, it gives us such a thrill tone to the music that just adds to the whole scene and really gets the viewer caught up in this whole scene.
Yeah.
And everything happening.
Well, you were talking about, really well. You know, him not getting a nomination and this getting a nomination for editing. This was a year of really, really big budget films. So it got overwhelmed by all these films that were even bigger than this film.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that Cleopatra was bigger. It was also a bigger flop.
But, also, How the West Was Won, just these huge, big films.
Right. Tom Jones.
You know, a lot of schlock. Yes. They made a lot of schlock.
Yeah, that's very true. Time.
And then they got Oscar nominations for it.
No, I'm just, you know, I personally have an affinity to this movie over all the others, even though I've seen the others. I mean, How the West Was Won is the movie that actually won the best editing that year, which I'm still not. I mean, I like that movie a lot, but I still think this one is better. But you know, that's a personal opinion.
It is, because I think How the West Was Won, the editing does I can't say superior. But he just does more in How the West Was Won. I mean, just incredibly edited from beginning to end. But overall, this is a better movie than How the West Was Won. So there's that.
So after the motorcycle takes flight and lands perfectly on the other side, so he continues to ride along between the two fences, gaining even more momentum. And as he's moving towards the other direction where these soldiers were running towards him, you know, he goes along the length of the fence, and then we get to see a whole bunch of soldiers from the other direction running towards him. And I counted those too. How many do you think are
here? Those look like only about 10.
Oh, okay. We got 24 here. So basically, you know,
use me to guess these.
But when you put that together, there are 56 soldiers, you know, extras that were paid to run after Steve McQueen in the shot.
Well, it's Steve McQueen. You're not going to just arrest him with two guys, you know. You can do that with James Garner, you know. He's just a big TV star. Steve McQueen, you're going to have to send a lot of people to get him.
And I love the way that you see the motorcycle gaining more momentum as things go. And he, like, does mini jumps along the way just to show off his riding skills and style, you know, the whole way. We see two other motorcycles and two cars that are now coming after him also from the other direction. And unfortunately, he just, you know, careens off to the right after we hear a shot ring out. You know, the music changes because the music is basically telling us there's danger ahead. And then he ducks down and careens to the side, and then skids his bike right into this big fence.
Yeah, you can see where they shot the motorcycle.
Yes, we'll see that. We'll see that shortly. We'll discuss that too. And what's great is that you see him like lie backwards as the motorcycle goes into the fence. You see him, he like slumps backwards. He's still attached to the motorcycle, but he's slumped backwards. And he even like knocks out over one of the poles of the fence. You'd think he could, you know, quickly try and slip through it and get out of there by the way that he does it. Then we see one of the soldiers get closer to the outer fence and, you know, takes his gun out, points it towards the direction of Hiltz.
Don't you kind of wonder, because he has a line, do you ever wonder, gee, I wonder what happened to him? Do you ever get bigger in movies, or was this it? Was this the highlight
of his career? At least in American cinema. He's not even...
Well,
yeah, I mean, this is
yeah, so
there are a lot of uncredited who have spoken lines in this movie. You know, people who have just one or two lines, they're not credited, at least not on IMDb, and they're not credited in the movie itself also. So there are a lot of minor characters that you don't know who they are. And he's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Before SAG, you know, before they you had to pay everyone for every little word that they say on screen. So the soldier is getting ready. He has his gun on ready. And then we get to see Hiltz, once again, lying on within the fence with barbed wire all around him.
Well, but before this, before the German soldier shows up, I love this little bit where Steve McQueen reaches up with his arm as if, oh, yes, freedom is right there. And I'm going, oh, God, we that's see him, a bit like,
reach
much.
Out with his hand, and he sort of realizes that he's, you know, it's filled with futility. Yeah. There's nothing is going to happen. He's not going to be able to get out. Now, I actually know the answer to this, but do you think that's real barbed wire or that's fake barbed wire?
Oh, I would think they would have used for that bit fake barbed wire. For that little bit. The rest of it might be.
Okay. The answer is actually real. The exact opposite of what you said. For most of the barbed wire, it's fake. There's
okay.
David Colum and a number of the other crew members have gotten on record by saying that when they were filming, when they had days off, they would make most of them tie up all these pieces of rubber in order to make it look like barbed wire. So they created that. Now, in the scene where we see Hiltz in the barbed wire, Sergius decided to actually use real barbed wire to allow him to get a feel for what it really is. So it's pretty funny that it's the exact opposite of what anyone... I would have answered the same way that you answered also. Yeah,
because why would you cut up yours?
But apparently this was one of the reasons why... You know, Sturgis wanted to try to get back at McQueen at something. I don't know. Make it.
Oh, well, that I can imagine.
Exactly.
It's certainly my best.
So at this point, we actually can see where the bullet holes hit, as you mentioned earlier, where it hit him beforehand. Now, how many shots did you hear?
Oh, I couldn't really tell you.
Exactly.
Or remember.
You don't hear that many shots. But, you know, he basically has, we can see at least three bullet holes in the motorcycle. Now, my question would be is he basically hit the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that explode if you shoot a bullet into it? I don't know.
I believe that's one of the...
It just looks strange to me.
I believe that's one of the oldest myths in moviedom. You see all these cars blowing up, and no, they would never...
Okay.
And people constantly say... That's not the way it works. No, they don't blow up like that. They rarely blow up.
That's actually great to hear because it gives more realism to this scene.
Yeah.
We get to see one of the German soldiers show up. And once again, I'm not going to torture everybody by having to listen to my bad pronunciation of German words. And he basically says to him, get up. And at this point, we see that Hiltz is aware of the fact.
Actually, I think he actually says, and I could be wrong, put up your hands, I think is what he said.
No, that's the second line.
Oh, sorry.
He says two lines. First one he says is Lass aufstehen. Once again, I apologize to all our German speakers out there. That says get up.
Yeah.
And then in a few seconds, he's about to say Hans hoch. Yeah. Hands up.
Hands hot. Yeah.
Exactly. So what's really nice is that we get to see that he, when he's told to put his hands up, he sort of pats the motorcycle, Yeah. You know, like you would see in a cowboy movie where someone's patting their horse, you know, basically saying, good job. Thank you for your help, even though we didn't succeed. So I like that little bit where we get to see Hiltz acknowledge the help that this motorcycle gave him, despite the fact that he didn't do the actual jump. And then we did you notice that his leg is now completely wet from probably the gasoline, right? That's what I would think. His leg that is under the motorcycle is completely wet. So hopefully no one's going to be smoking near him for a little while. You know, and then he basically acknowledges the fact that he's been captured, slides out from under the motorcycle, you know, by keeping his hands at an area, at a angle that no one's going to be able to misinterpret it, because again, he's the star and he's the American. And then, you know, he shows his bars that he's done numerous times throughout the movie, you know, to prove to them that he's an officer and that they shouldn't shoot him. And then he like hangs his hands in a very strange, you know, he like puts one hand
up. Yeah, he's injured the other one. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, it's stuck, but it's, he puts it up. It, unfortunately, it looks like he's doing a Hail Hitler with the way that he's, you know, putting his hand up. But he realizes that this is it. He's been caught. So, Howard, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, would you like to once again tell people how they can get in touch with Howard Kasner?
Well, the easiest place is on Facebook with Howard Kasner, my Facebook page, or Howard Kasner's screenplay consultation, as well as my blog, Rantings and Ravings, and my pop art podcast, which you can find on streaming services everywhere, but especially on Apple, Podomatic, and Anchor.
Okay, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to our show. You can send us an email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And our Twitter account is GreatEscapeMXM. So until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!